Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. I'd like to apologize up front this morning. There was technical difficulty on yesterday where when I started the show, you could hear it, but then it got quiet for some reason. I believe that my system either muted itself or it just kind of, because I'm looking at it and it looked like I was on, but from my understanding, you could not hear it. And then when I went back to do the replay, I found out, in fact, it was some technical issues. So we are going to read yesterday's word again. And the title again is With Faith and Your Eyes on Jesus, You Can Walk on Water. Again, with faith and your eyes on Jesus, you can walk on water is our title from this morning. Tomorrow we will have an Old Testament Tuesday where I will get today's Old Testament word and tomorrow's Old Testament word. Today we'll be in Psalms as well, Proverbs, and New Testament in Matthew. So please thank you for tuning back in this morning. I appreciate you, and I lift up the name of Jesus today as we pray. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, thankful, grateful, and blessed for another opportunity to read and teach your word, Lord God. We ask that this word touch someone's heart, someone's mind, someone's spirit, Lord God. But everything is for a reason and a purpose. So, Father God, I ask you to increase as your daughter decreases. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. You are my Father God, and I am grateful to do this job for you. I am grateful that you call me to do this. And Lord, I lift this word up that it touches the heart, mind, and spirit. In Jesus' name, Lord God, you are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And I lift again this word up to you, God, asking you to speak through me. Let these words that come out of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. For I thank you, Lord, for the day that you have made. I'm rejoicing and glad that you gave me a do-over. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanking God for the do-over this morning. Whew, grateful, thankful, and blessed again to be with you and to read and teach God's holy word. So let's get started this morning. We are in the 10th and 11th Psalm. We are still in Proverbs chapter 4. And we will be coming this morning out of Matthew chapter 13 and chapter 14. So let's get started in our word, and we are starting with our psalm this morning. And all I can say is it is a great word. And I pray this morning everyone can hear me clearly. Whereas yesterday, again, I apologize for those that are coming in that I was not able to be heard. And so we are doing a do-over because God gave it to us. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. And again, if there is anyone that cannot hear me or anyone that's having any issues, raise your hand if I'm not clear and your line will be open, or those that know me personally can give me a call and let me know I'm not clear. And if I am, let's keep it moving. And the word of God in Psalm the chapter 10, the 10th Psalm, verses 1 through 11, and it says this: Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. And we see it happening every day. More and more laws to hurt than to help. You know, people are trying to get rid of the safety nets that help those that are in need, including our seniors. We have elected some folks into Congress whose only job that they have tried to do since FDR was to get rid of Social Security. And I want to make sure everybody understands, Social Security is not a gimme. People worked hard for it. Seniors worked hard for it. They all had employment. And many people think, well, they're getting SSI. Again, it's a disability. People worked for it. We have to understand that we, as men and women of God, who much is given, much is required. And I was reading an article this morning where those that have a lot are saying, why do you keep giving us tax breaks? We don't need it. Tax us fairly. Rich people, tell them tax us fairly. But again, when you elect billionaires and millionaires to Congress, they're not looking out for the poor guy. They're looking out for themselves. And we have to look at that because God's word is giving us a blueprint on what is happening in our world today. And it says that the wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. Kind to strangers, instead we're rounding them up, shipping them out. No care for anyone. And it says, for the wicked boast of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. Come on now. The wicked in his pride countenance does not see God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places. He murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. Excuse me. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. So he crouches and he lies low that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God is forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. Understand, God sees everything, and he sees how the poor are treated horribly. And God will one day. But do not treat those less fortunate with the love that God has given us. We got to love each other. We got to care about each other. We can't be so selfish that we forget that others may be in need and we can help. We got to get out of our selfish bent. You know, God has blessed us. God has blessed me. I say it. But God blesses me to be a blessing. And I thank him every day for my blessing. And I ask him, show me what to do, Lord. You know, show me what to do. Show me how to help others. And that's what we have to do. Help our brothers and our sisters that are in need. And it goes on to tell us in his word, he says, but you have seen for you observe trouble and grief to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. God is watching. God is watching everything. 11th chapter of Psalm. We'll come back to life lessons from the Psalms after we read them. And as we go to the 11th Psalm, to the chief musician, a Psalm of David. In the Lord I put my trust. Hallelujah. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? But look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain gold. Fire and brimstone and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. Understand, God loves his children, and he wants us to be the best that we can be. He loves us completely and totally, and he wants us to love each other because he is a great, great father. He is a loving God, and he loves us completely. And he wants the best for us. But the best is yet to come when we look at how great a Father God is and how much he loves us. 12th Psalm, to the chief musician on an eight-string harp, a Psalm of David. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sign of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. And let's call it straight. We see every day all this just nastiness, you know, wickedness in high places. When you have liars and cheats in Congress, known liars, known cheats, and because we want to keep our power, we say nothing about it. Because they're the same political party as we are, we say nothing about it. Wrong is wrong, right is right. I don't care what party politically you are, what denomination in ministry you are. If you are wrong, you are wrong. If you are right, you are right. And how we know it is from the word of God. God's word tells us what's right. God's word tells us what's wrong. People are not being, oh, well, they're being this, they're being homophobic, they're being racist, they're being this, they're being that. No. What does God's word say? And that's what we have to go by, the word of God. We got to love each other. It doesn't matter what we look like on the outside. It's what's on the inside. Because let's call it straight. Our DNA all comes back to one source. We are family, and we got to stop acting like enemies. On yesterday, 10 people murdered at the Asian, at the Chinese New Year. Their Lunar New Year was on yesterday, and 10 people got murdered by possibly one of their own. Why? Why are we killing each other? Children are afraid to go to school because kids are bringing guns in. Where I live in the Midwest, I was at a conference on Saturday, and one of the ministers spoke on the fact that down in East St. Louis area, down in Belleville area, a six-year-old shot a three-year-old. Guns are the new God for some people. And we have got to get our Lord God back in households. We've got to get our children back in church. Because the lessons that God is giving us through his word is that we must love each other. We must care for those that are less fortunate. Because if we go back into our psalm this morning, it says in chapter 10, verse 1, why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? During the hard times in the desert, the Israelites thought God had abandoned them. But Moses told them, in the wilderness, the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son. We may think God is not hearing the prayers and the pleas of the righteous, but he is. Don't ever take it for granted that God does not hear your prayers when you're going through. He hears everything. He hears it all. In Psalm 10 and 14, the helpless commits himself to you. No Christian is ever truly without a helper. If everyone else abandons you, God is to remain with you and give you the help you need. That is why he desires the name Faithful and True, Revelation 3 and 4. God is faithful and true through ever, whatever you think you're going through. Understand, God's got you. He's got you in the palm of his hand. He has picked you up, dusted you off, put you on your square and on the right path to walk. All we have to do is believe. And when we go to the 11th Psalm, verse 1, in the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? When foes urged Nehemiah, y'all know Nehemiah was bad. He was a prophet. He was cupbearer to a king, and he was the rebuilder of the temple. He did not play, did not run in fear either. And as the word says, when foes urged Nehemiah to run from trouble, he replied, should such a man as I flee? He realized that his enemies wanted to make him afraid and so sin by fleeing instead of trusting God. Nehemiah chapter 6, Nehemiah trusted God and the temple got built. Let's just put it that way. In Psalms 11 and 7, the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance, he holds the upright. God made us in his image to reflect who he is and bring him glory. Since the Lord is righteous, he wants us to act in righteous ways, and through his spirit, he gives us the power we need. You know, well, back in the day, it was a song that says, I got the power. We got the power. We got the power of God. All we have to do is depend on him and trust that he has us covered from the crowns of our head to the soles of our feet. The Lord God has covered us. The blood of the Lamb through his grace and through his mercy. 12th Psalm, verse 5, I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. We all yearn for safety. to feel secure in our surroundings. Whenever events occur that make us feel unsafe and insecure, God urges us to ask him to intervene. He alone is both our safety and our security. And I can attest to that. As I told you, January 17, 2022, I had a car accident that sent me over the edge of an embankment. I went over, it was a concrete wall, basically, and I went down it. Hit black ice, went airborne, and bam, on the side with the gas tank on the driver's side, belted in. All I felt when I said Jesus as I was going over, all I said was Jesus, and I felt like arms grabbed me and pulled me back. It didn't feel like the seat belt. It felt like arms holding me up. And when my head went to the side, of course the airbags went off, but it felt like I was just laying in a cocoon of a pillow. The front airbag did not go out. Just the side and my seatbelt held me in place, upside down, sideways. And the only way I could get out of my car was through the sunroof. And all I could do was keep thanking God. Not one scratch, not one broken bone. And the car did blow up. Praise God. I'm here for a reason. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. And ask God to forgive me for any sins I've committed in thought, word, or deed against his divine majesty. We got to repent. And all I can do is thank God. And I thank him every day. I get in my car, I ask God to cover me. Cover me, Lord. No hurt, no harm, no danger to anyone on this road that I'm on. I know God is in charge of everything. As I was with my pastor on Friday, and we were going to go to a place, to a store, and then go out to eat, but we decided to go eat, and I told her I would take care of the other things. And as I'm going down the road that we would have been on had we gone to the store, awful accident had happened. Traffic backed up. We would have been in the midst of all of that by God. And all I can again say is thank you, Lord, for watching over your children. God watches over us. He keeps us safe when we least expect that there's any danger. So thank God that you have a new day. Thank God that he has blessed you. Thank him. Praise him. Look up. Give him a hope. He's giving you hope in the future. Psalms 12:5, I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. God has set us in the safety for which we yearn. He is there with us. He will make us secure. He will let you know you are safe in my loving arms. Psalm 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words. God's word is not like any other book on earth. Come on now. Still a number one bestseller. It expresses the heart and mind of the Lord and can be trusted beyond any shadow of doubt. It is an immovable anchor in times of storms. When you're going through, where do you go? You go through the word, to the word of God. The word will take you where you need to go. He will bring you through. I can speak it. I've lived it. Where God's word has given me an anchor. Where God's word has shown me that he is with me. That God's word has gotten me up when I was sick. God's word has kept pain away. I had foot surgery some years ago, and I refused to take the pain medicine because it was at that time, what we found out later was Precotin is extremely addictive. But God would not allow me to take those pills. I couldn't take them. I didn't even try. I had Vicodin and Oxycontin. And I'm like, I can't take this stuff. And all I did was I started to pray. And I went to the Word of God and I said, Lord, your Word says that by his stripes I am healed. By his stripes I am healed. And I believe, Lord, by his stripes I am not in pain, that you will heal me and take the pain away. And the pain was gone. I took a Tylenol, and I was fine. And I tell you, when you trust in God, he will tell you what to take. He will not give you addictive medication. He will give you what you need and only what you need. But you got to trust in him. And you've got to trust in his word. By his stripes, I am healed. He was wounded for my iniquity. He was bruised for my transgression. I'm believing, God, that Jesus' blood heals me and it flows through our veins. All we have to do is accept him as our Savior. And as we go to our Proverbs today, we are in Proverbs chapter 3. And it says this in chapter 3, verse 31. Says, do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be their legacy of fools. And, you know, we all have our problems where we want to see that somebody's got a whole lot, and we're like, but they just nasty, they wicked, they this, they that. Why do they have so much? You know, I'm faithful. I do this. I do that. I, but why are they, you know, why are they so rich, but they don't ever do anything? You know, you can start getting that spirit. That is the spirit of the evil one. And he wants you to be covetous. He wants you to envy this person. He wants you to envy that person. God is not a God of envy. God has already told us in his word, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's anything. Back then, it was the donkey and the horse and the servants, but now it's the Mercedes, it's the Porsche, it's the whatever car they may have, whatever house they may have, or houses they may have. Don't envy anybody, because you don't know what they go through to have all that stuff. There are some that have lied, that have cheated, that have killed, that have stolen, that have done everything to have what they have. And some have worked their behind y'all, worked hard to accomplish what they have. Always thank God for someone else's blessing, because you never know, God may give you the blessing. Trust God. Don't envy anybody. Don't covet anybody's stuff, because you don't know what they went through to have what they have. And as we go to Proverbs chapter 4, it says, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Come on now. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother. We're talking Solomon here. He also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. That's what he told his son. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. And what did Solomon ask God for? Wisdom. He was smart enough to listen to his dad when his dad told him, don't look for all the other stuff. Get wisdom. He said, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. wisdom. We got to get wisdom and understanding. When we ask God, don't ask for stuff. Ask for wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, all the stuff in the world will go right out the window because you won't know how to keep it because you didn't get wisdom and understanding. And it goes on to tell us wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver to you. Hallelujah. Get wisdom. And in the getting, get understanding. Hallelujah. Hear, my son. David speaking to Solomon. Hear, my son, and receive my things. And the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right path. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. We got to have wisdom. And in the wisdom, we got to ask God for understanding. Verses 14 through 17 of Proverbs chapter 4. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The Lord has given us a blueprint. He has shown us everything we need to live a righteous life. He has given us all that we desire to live the good life. Good life comes from knowing who God is. You know, I get all emotional. I know I do. But I thank God every day that he woke me up because somebody did not wake up this morning. You don't. My pastor says it all the time. You don't have to be sick to die. You've got to trust God every day, every night, before you lay your head on that pillow and close your eyes. Thank God that he gave you another day. And ask God, Lord, if it is your will that I wake up tomorrow morning, let my tomorrow be better than my today. Let me walk in your way, God, and not in mine. And watch God work in your life. God is wanting and seeking more of us. He wants us to know who he is. Jesus gave us a blueprint to do is read the word of God to know the directions that we must travel. Hallelujah. I thank God for this mighty word this morning. And again, this is Moving Forward on Blog Talk Radio. This is Bible study. This is a reading of God's word. And if you know someone that needs to hear it, tune in. 213-943-3597 is the call-in number, and you can listen in also on that number. I am on Twitter, and I am on Facebook. And the word that we are coming out of again this year is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And as I give my disclaimer, I am not paid by InTouch Magazine or any of Dr. Stanley's ministries to hawk this Bible. But I will tell you, this is a great Bible to have in your biblical arsenal. You know, to have your King James, to have your NIV, to have your New King James, to have an NLT. You know, get the story Bible if you just want to read the Bible in a story format. There's so many wonderful Bibles out there. But always make sure because there's also some Bibles out there that are not based on King James. They do not have the Word of God. So you got to, and they kind of distort it. So you have to go and make sure you get the right Bible. Don't just get anything. Get a Bible that actually has the Word of God. And, you know, and how you can check it is also, I have a Hebrew and a Greek Bible. And it's Hebrew into English, Greek into English. So the Old Testament is Hebrew into English, and my New Testament is Greek into English. And so it will go, and you can read it so that you can compare all of your different Bibles to see which one is pretty close to accurate or accurate and is the Word that God has given. So, you know, don't just get one Bible and say, I'm just going to read this. You got to look, because sometimes another Bible may make it a little bit more understandable. Like, I love King James, but I read New King James because New King James breaks it down a little bit easier to understand, so it's not thems and thous and words that we don't even use today, so people don't even have an understanding what it is. So we need to, you know, kind of go with this modern version sometimes so that we understand the older version. And I read King James. I actually read King James on yesterday. But I'm going to tell you this. God says stay with what you got right now today. So I have my King James right by me so that I have it if I want to look up something and see something else and make sure that what I'm reading, King James, is meshing. I mean, in New King James, it's meshing with what King James says. You know, where you look at it and it tells you, okay, in that red letter, what Jesus said, and going back to King James in it. So I have King James open right beside my New King James. You got to have your Bible. This is the best and greatest instruction book you've ever had in your life. And when we use it, God will show us everything we need to do. So let's, you know, get back into the Word this morning. And again, if there's anyone that would like to read today, you know, pray first, because, you know, this, I pray before I get on here, before I open this book. We don't want anyone opening this book and reading to the world if your soul ain't right, if you have not opened up your heart and let God use you. So we got to make sure before we ever push that button that it is God and not ourselves. You know, Lord, remove me and replace me with you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. We got to be acceptable in God's sight. And let's get back to see what Jesus is talking about. Because in this word this morning, Jesus breaks it all down on everything. We tear all of it. You know, he tells us the word. And so let's get into it. Please join me again in Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to start at verse 31. And we're going to go on from there. And it says there's another parable. And it says he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. And if you look at a mustard seed, it's barely big as a tip of a fingernail. And I'm talking a cut down all the way almost to the skin fingernail. A mustard seed is so very, very tiny that you can almost barely see it. It's so little. It's a teeny tiny little seed. But from that little teeny tiny seed, it tells us, Jesus says, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree. The birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. Because leaven makes something expand. So when you put leaven in bread, it makes it bigger and fatter. You know, so you know how we have bread that's all big and fat and, you know, just a big old loaf. Whereas unleavened bread, it's like, almost looks like a cracker. It has no leaven in it. And he tells you, and he says, and as these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parable, and without a parable, he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. Come on, man. And he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, the world. And I have read this so many times, and it dawned on me on yesterday, the field is the world. You know, we don't think of it that way, but the field is the world. And he says, the good seed is the son of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. We're talking the devil. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. And we read all this in Revelation. It says, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he said to them, therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not well with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now he did not do mighty works there because of their unbelief. And we'll come back and get life lessons if time permits. We want to get our word in this. And then when we get to Matthew chapter 14, and it says, at the time Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. He's an adulterer. I'm calling it like it was. And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias, danced before him and pleased Herod. I don't know what kind of dancing that little girl did, but she did some dancing. Got Herod ready to blabber and give her half his kingdom. Come on now. And let's go ahead and see what that is. You know, and therefore he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. You know, whatever you want, I give it to you. But understand, wretched mama had told her what to do. Dance like this and get John the Baptist to tell you. And so this is what it says. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, give me John the Baptist here on the cloud. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl. And she brought it to her mother. Then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitude heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came in saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men. I want y'all to catch this, because we have all heard that Jesus said the 5,000. But we all, as you go into the word yourself and read it, you realize, no, it wasn't just 5,000 people that Jesus fed. He fed 5,000 men, tax, women, and children. Those 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish fed a multitude. All he did was pray. Understand, we can feed many with prayer. God will provide. I thank God every day for my pastor and my church, because my pastor is one that will open a pantry and give out food. Yesterday, food given out. I saw kids coming out with bags of food to take home. Not just any old stuff, but good stuff that you spend $3, $4, $5 at the grocery store for, taken out by these babies to go home with. That's what God does when you trust him. I thank God that we trust him. And as we get into our word, it says immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to do what? To pray. Jesus prayed all the time. Now, when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost, and they cried out for fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw wind, he saw that the wind was boisterous. He was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of the place recognized him, they sent out to all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Whew, what a word. What a word. God will heal us. God will take us where we need to go. All we have to do is have faith and not take our eyes off of Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Savior and watch him work in your life. And I love this life example from Matthew chapter 14. It says, while a measure of faith has been given to every person, Romans 12 and 3, our faith is to grow. God desires that we develop great faith. After Peter walked on the water, but then started to sink when he heard the howling wind and saw the wild waves, the Lord asked him, oh, you a little faith, why did you doubt? When the disciples awoke asleep in Jesus to still the storm on the Sea of Galilee, he responded, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? In other words, Jesus was asking, how is it that you haven't used any of your faith in this situation? Jesus clearly expected his followers to have faith, to use it, and to grow it. We grow in faith when we hear from God, obey what he says, and then acknowledge God's faithfulness to his word in our lives. If we aren't hearing from God, it's virtually impossible for us to grow in faith. The same is true if we aren't obeying him and if we aren't looking for him to fulfill his word in us. A faith challenge requires consistently endurance, perseverance, and watchfulness. We must continue to stand in faith until the thing for which God challenges us to believe comes to pass. Jesus once told a parable about a widow who went repeatedly to a judge for justice until he responded to her, and Jesus pointed out that God was not like the callous judge and said, shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? And though he bears long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Then he added a comment about our tendency to give up too soon in matters that call for our faith to grow. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Luke 18, 7 and 8. Persevere in your believing. Once you have heard God speak to you, endure until you see the fulfillment of God's word. Get wisdom. When you get wisdom, get understanding. We have to ask God, Lord, guide us, lead us, show us the way. Thank you, God, this morning for this mighty word. With faith, your eyes on Jesus. With faith and your eyes on Jesus, you can walk on water. Hallelujah, Jesus, today. Let's keep that faith going. Let's know that he has not left us. He will not forsake us. He loves us. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, if there's anyone that has a word, now is the time to push the 1 on your phone or dial 213-943-3597. And a word for my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. Good morning. Don't stress yourself. Come on now. Out. Things will fall into place. Whatever is not going right for you, God will turn it around when you least expect it. Stay persistent and prayerful. Have a moving on Monday. Right there with faith. We got to have it. Praising God this morning and thanking him for this word. A quick prayer before we get out of here today. And then the lines are open. And our word today is this, loving well. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. John 13:34, NASB. Gracious God, your love is endlessly dependable. It doesn't shift with the winds of the changing seasons. Your constant affection is the best thing I've ever known. I can't rightly compare it to anything else. It is better than the best love. How you require your children to love each other in the same way you do. I am speechless. Your love laid itself down over and over again, faithfully choosing the benefit of others over your own desires and whims. Lord, I realize how selfish I am when you put it into flesh and blood terms like that. Even so, help me, God. I want to be like you, which means I want to love like you. I am grateful that you don't require perfection, just a willing and a humble heart. Your love covers a multitude of sins, so as I practice loving others, a part of that process is humility, forgiveness, and quick repentance. Keep me focused on your incredible kindness. When I want to give up and walk away, I know your way is better. And as we get ready to wrap up, you can choose love that prefers others over its own interests. Right on point with our word this morning, and lines are open. Hallelujah. 7208, your line is open. 7208, your line is open.
I have a meditation for you. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." Matthew 26:39.
Amen. Ooh, thank you. And may I ask who you are calling?
Grace.
The first
Greg.
Name. Thank
Tracy.
You so much, Tracy. Have a blessed day. And our
you
next
too.
Call is 7412. Your line is open.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Mother. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. I like what you were talking about. You can walk on water if you have faith in Jesus. I remember a movie that I was watching called The Shack, and the man was walking on water with Jesus. But when he started walking on the water by himself, he starts sinking, just like Peter. You can't walk on the water, but you have to have Jesus in order to do it. I mean, if you walk with Jesus, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. I really can. But the thing I like, too, is that by his stripes, I'm healed. But you have to believe that. I mean, you could say that all day long. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. But if you don't
believe it
and have faith in Jesus, it's not going to work for you. You have to believe the words of your own mouth, the things that come out of your mouth. You have to believe what you're saying, because you can say it 50 times, 60 times. It means nothing unless you believe it. And it said, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And what they said, "It's a ghost," they cried out in fear. And the Lord said, "Be of good cheer. It's I. Don't be afraid." A lot of times we are so fearful. And Jesus said, "Don't fear." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come on the water." And he told Peter, "Come on." So you have to believe and not doubt. May God add a blessing
Amen.
To the readers of his word and the hearers. We have to do. We have
Amen.
To believe.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, everybody. We have to wrap up because our time is up. But I thank you all for listening in. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you all for listening in this morning. Praising God with you. Praising God for you. And I pray that we eat. Lift each other up as we go through our day. May the Lord God watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that your faith, with your faith and your eyes on Jesus, you can walk in water. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Please join me tomorrow morning, same time, same station, as we move forward in God's word. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Thank
it's
you,
a wrap.
Thank you, Tracy. Be blessed.